Welcome back, everybody. For this deep dive, we're going to be looking at some excerpts you sent in about numerical patterns in the Bible.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's like there's this whole secret code embedded in the pages of Scripture.
Yeah, and what's so interesting here is how these patterns, they kind of go beyond just individual numbers, you know?
Right.
They extend across entire narratives.
You're talking about like the genealogies.
Nah.
And the historical periods.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I've noticed the excerpts mention a lot of sevens and 40s, 12s too.
Right, right.
It's almost as though these numbers, like they're trying to tell us something.
They might be, yeah.
Okay.
We should start with seven.
Seven.
Yeah, it's everywhere in the Bible. But
yeah.
Its significance in the creation story is particularly intriguing.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about those 7 days of creation.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. Let's unpack that a little bit. Why seven? What's so special about that number?
Well, in ancient Near Eastern cosmology, the number seven represented completeness and divine order. So think about the seven celestial bodies known at the time.
Okay.
Sun, Moon, Mars, Mercury, Jupiter.
I see.
Venus and Saturn.
Okay, I see the connection there.
Yeah.
So the 7 days of creation could be seen as a reflection of that cosmic order.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it.
It's a way of saying that God created the world according to a divine plan.
Right.
Almost using the celestial bodies as a blueprint.
Exactly. It's not just about a literal 7 day period.
Right.
It's about this idea of completeness and divine order being like woven into the very fabric of creation.
And that connection to ancient cosmology just adds a whole other like layer of depth to this story, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
It's like we're peering into the minds of the biblical authors, seeing the world through their eyes.
It certainly invites us to think about the cultural and historical context
right.
that these texts were written in.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, another number that pops up a lot and is heavily featured in our excerpts is 40.
Yeah.
And it often represents a time of trial or transformation,
yeah. Okay.
A period of testing that leads to growth.
You know, I used to think of 40 as just some like random number, but
right.
The more I encounter it in the Bible, the more I'm like, wait a minute, there's something deeper going on here.
Yeah. Think about the Israelites' 40 years of wandering in the wilderness.
Okay.
It wasn't just a random detour, right?
Right.
It was a period of purification.
Oh.
A time to them to shed their old ways and forge a new identity as God's chosen people.
That's interesting how 40 is used to mark these periods of like intense change and preparation. It's almost like a spiritual boot camp, you know.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And it's not limited to the Old Testament either.
Okay.
Jesus' 40 days of fasting in the wilderness also fits this pattern. Mm-hmm. It was a time of intense spiritual struggle, a preparation for his ministry.
So 40 is more than just a number.
Right.
It's a symbol of a process, a journey of transformation. Do you think there's like a 40 days in the desert moment in everyone's life?
Possibly.
A period of testing.
It might not be a literal 40 days.
Right.
But we all face challenges and trials that force us to grow,
yeah.
to evolve.
And maybe that's part of the power of these numerical patterns, right? They they invite us to connect the biblical stories to our own lives.
Right.
Find those universal truths that resonate across, you know, time and cultures.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Speaking of universal truths, let's talk about the number 12.
Okay.
It appears frequently throughout the Bible.
Yeah.
Often symbolizing completeness and divine order, just like the number 7, but in a slightly different way.
Right. You've got the 12 tribes of Israel,
yeah.
the 12 apostles, the 12 gates to the New Jerusalem.
Exactly.
It's all about establishing a structure, a foundation for God's people.
And, you know, the number 12 wasn't just significant in the biblical world.
Okay.
The ancient Babylonians, who had a based 12 number system.
Oh, right.
They also saw it as a symbol of completeness.
So we're seeing like a convergence of cultural influences here.
Yeah.
The biblical authors might have been drawing on those existing Babylonian ideas and adapting them
right.
to fit their own theological framework.
It's a reminder that the Bible was written in a specific historical and cultural context.
For sure.
And understanding that context can enrich our interpretation of these numerical patterns.
It's not just about decoding a secret code, right?
Right.
It's about understanding the world in which that code was created.
Yes.
And that's where it gets really interesting, isn't it?
Absolutely. Let's move on to another number that's captured people's imaginations for centuries.
Yes.
666.
666, the number of the beast. I have to admit, that one always kind of sends shivers down my spine.
Yeah.
Is it literal code? Like, is it pointing to a specific person or event?
Well,
or is it more symbolic?
The number 666, as described in the book of Revelation, is one of the most debated and enigmatic symbols in the Bible. Some scholars believe it's a coded reference to the Roman Emperor Nero.
Oh, okay.
Who persecuted early Christians.
I've heard about that theory.
Yeah.
You can actually get to 666 by assigning numerical values to the letters in Nero's name in Hebrew.
That's right. It's a form of gematria.
Right.
A system where numerical values are assigned to letters.
Okay.
And this theory suggests that early Christians used 666 as like a veiled way to criticize the Roman Empire.
Oh, okay.
Without directly naming names.
It's like a subversive form of protest hidden in plain sight.
Right.
But it also adds a layer of complexity to the interpretation of Revelation, right?
It does.
If 666 is tied to a specific historical figure like Nero, does that limit its meaning to that particular time period?
Good question.
Yeah.
And it gets to the heart of the debate surrounding biblical numerology.
Right.
Some argue that these numbers have fixed meanings, while others see them as more fluid symbols that can take on different layers of meaning in different contexts.
So 666 could be both a coded reference to Nero.
Potentially, yeah.
And a broader symbol of evil or imperfection.
Exactly. Sort of like a double entendre.
Right.
And the number 6 itself plays into this idea of imperfection.
How so?
Well, it's one less than 7, which represents completeness.
Right.
So 666 could be seen as a triple emphasis on that imperfection.
Okay.
Something that stands in stark contrast to the divine perfection of God.
That makes sense. It's like this cosmic battle between good and evil.
Mm.
Light and darkness,
yeah.
Completeness and imperfection.
Right.
666 represents those forces that are opposed to God's will,
mm-hmm.
regardless of whether they manifest in a specific historical figure
right.
or a more abstract concept.
It's a powerful symbol.
It is.
And its ambiguity only adds to its power.
Yeah.
Now, shifting gears a bit, those excerpts you provided also highlighted some interesting patterns in the genealogies.
Oh, yeah. The genealogies, you know, I always thought they were kind of like dry.
I know, maybe.
Just long lists of names. But I'm starting to see how they might hold like hidden meanings, too.
They might.
What caught your eye?
Well, the genealogy of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew is particularly intriguing.
Okay.
It's structured in a very deliberate way.
Okay.
Divided into 3 sets of 14 generations each.
Okay.
Leading from Abraham to Jesus.
3 sets of 14, so that's 42 generations total.
Right.
Okay. I'm seeing a pattern here, but I'm missing the significance.
Okay.
Why 14?
Remember gematria.
Uh-huh.
Well, in Hebrew, the numerical value of the name David is 14.
Oh, okay.
And Matthew's genealogy is tracing the lineage of Jesus, who is often referred to as the son of David.
So by emphasizing the number 14, Matthew is subtly highlighting the Davidic lineage of Jesus,
right.
strengthening his claim to the throne of David.
Precisely. It's a subtle but powerful way of weaving a theological message into the genealogy itself.
It's like a secret code embedded within the structure of the genealogy.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder what other hidden meanings might be lurking within those seemingly dry lists of names.
Well, if we look beyond individual numbers and consider larger scale patterns, we find even more intriguing coincidences.
Okay.
For example, the way Israel's history is often divided into parallel periods marked by specific numbers.
Okay.
Like the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness mirroring the 40 days of rain during Noah's flood.
Right, exactly.
And the number 70 also features prominently.
Okay.
The Babylonian captivity. A pivotal period in Israel's history lasted for 70 years.
Okay.
A number often associated with judgment and restoration.
It's almost as though there is a cosmic clock ticking in the background.
Yeah.
Marking off significant periods of time in Israel's history.
It's a fascinating observation.
Yeah.
These larger scale patterns could be a way of unifying the biblical narrative, highlighting key themes that run throughout the text.
So are we looking at evidence of a grand design?
Mm-hmm.
A deliberate weaving of numbers into the fabric of the Bible?
That's a good question.
Or is it just coincidence?
Right.
I mean, the human brain is wired to find patterns even where they might not exist.
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And it's what makes biblical numerology so fascinating.
All right, right.
It invites us to consider the possibility of deeper meanings.
Right.
Without forcing us to accept any one interpretation as definitive.
It's a delicate dance between faith and reason.
Mm.
Intuition and analysis. Wow. This whole deep dive, It really feels like we're just like scratching the surface here. Yeah. I'm starting to see the Bible in a whole new light. You know?
Great.
Not just as like a collection of stories and teachings,
right,
but as a carefully crafted text with all these layers of meaning woven into its structure.
Like an intricate tapestry.
Yeah.
Where every thread, every number has its place and its purpose.
Exactly. But with so many different interpretations out there, how do we know which ones to trust?
That's a good question.
It's easy to get lost in the maze of symbolism and speculation.
That's where discernment comes in.
Okay.
We need to be cautious about reading too much into these numerical patterns.
Right.
Or taking them too literally.
So it's not about finding the one right answer.
Right.
It's about approaching these patterns with an open mind.
Exactly.
And a healthy dose of skepticism.
Precisely. Yeah. And it's important to remember that these numerical patterns, while fascinating, should never overshadow the core message of the Bible itself.
We don't want to get so caught up in the numbers that we like lose sight of the heart of the matter, stories, the teachings, the overall message of faith and redemption.
Exactly. The numbers should enhance our understanding.
Yeah.
Not replace or supersede the essence of the text.
It's like adding a new lens to our reading glasses, you know, allowing us to see the familiar text in a fresh, insightful way. I have to ask, though, do you personally believe that these numerical patterns hold a deeper meaning?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you lean more toward the side of coincidence and human perception?
Personally, I'm drawn to the idea that there's more to these patterns than meets the eye.
Okay.
Particularly when we consider those larger scale patterns that span generations and historical periods.
Yeah.
The level of intentionality there, it really suggests a deeper meaning at play.
But as you said earlier, we need to approach those interpretations with caution and humility, acknowledging that we might never have all the answers.
Indeed. Ultimately, whether we view these numerical coincidences as evidence of divine design, literary artistry, or simply the human tendency to find patterns, they offer a unique and engaging way to interact with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They challenge us to think critically and to appreciate the depth and complexity of this ancient text.
This has been great. I feel like I have a whole new set of tools and perspectives to bring to my reading.
I'm thrilled to hear that. And remember, the journey doesn't end here.
Yeah.
There are countless other patterns and coincidences waiting to be discovered within the pages of the Bible.
For sure.
Keep exploring.
Yeah.
Keep questioning and keep an open mind.
It's all about the journey, right?
It is. You never know what hidden treasures you might unearth.
Well, to our listeners, we hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity.
I hope so.
And given you a new appreciation for the hidden depths of the Bible. Happy exploring, everybody.